Father, we thank Thee that we can rehearse this good news. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Risen, exalted, and one day coming again. Lord, we pray today that You will minister to our hearts as we tell this story. We pray Your blessing upon every heart. We pray for the Holy Spirit, the one who came at Pentecost to empower the church. Oh Lord, we pray for the visitation of the Spirit of God in our church, in our day, in our lives, in our hearts, and that You will manifest Yourself to us. And so speak through Your word. Grant that You will minister to us as we seek to worship Thee through this time of preaching the word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Let's open our Bibles again, please. Matthew 27. And I'm going to take a jump text today. It's going to one of those starting points, but there's a huge area to cover in the details that are given. But if you look at verse 65, you will see the words of Pilate, who said unto them, "Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can." Now, those are the words that jump out at us here today. Make it as sure as you can. Now, those seem like weak words from a weak man. And it was true. In fact, he got it right, because it was impossible to make sure the tomb on that day. Now, the burial of the Lord Jesus was rapid. Within hours, if not minutes, He was embalmed and entombed, and a solid stone was firmly placed, rolled into place, sealing the opening of the hole in the rock, and it was done. Now, for some time, that ended the hopes and the dreams that Jesus would conquer every enemy and give the victory to His people, especially the enemy of death. After all that the Lord had preached, taught, all that He had done, now He was in a tomb. And where were the claims that He was the life giver? You remember how He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Well, how could that be true as He laid there in that empty or that tomb? Now, for others, it was the beginning of their fears. The fear that some fake news would be broadcast, that somehow they would tell the story anyway, that He would come alive. And, of course, the Lord Jesus had preached, just as Jonah was 3 days, three nights in the fish's belly, so shall the Son of the Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And so these religious fanatics who feared such news, they went to Pilate and they said, "Sir, do you remember how that deceiver said that after 3 days and three nights that He would rise again? What shall we do?" And Pilate said, "Well, you have a watch. Go make the tomb as sure as you can." Now, manpower was not to be limited. They were given a watch. And that was the strong men of the Roman elite army. They were to be there 24/7. And so no manpower, no security was to be denied. But as you know, is there any such thing as total security in this world? We know that if the thief really wants to get in, and if the enemy wants to tell their story, is there any way of really making it unstoppable? And so the security of the Lord's tomb was dogged with suspicion from the very get-go. There was fear that the Lord's prediction that He would rise from the dead, that somehow would get out. And now they must have been saying, well, their Lord and leader was in the grave, and they need to fabricate something. And it's our job to make sure that there is no fake news. I know that's a hot term these days, fake news, but that's what they were afraid of, that somehow these Christians, and you know how fanatical they are, they will do anything to get that message out that he is alive and the tomb is empty. And so they did everything they could. They made it as sure as they could. Now, we're here today in the 21st century, and we can preach the real news, the wonderful news that the Lord is risen indeed. And Christ's rising from the dead and appearances to his disciples, despite all attempts to keep that news from ever spreading, is the miracle that we have to tell. And it was unstoppable. So I want to preach to you today about the unstoppable miracle, the unstoppable message, and the unstoppable meaning of it all. And I hope you'll bear with me as we get into this passage here, Matthew 27 into 28, and we see how it all happened. The unstoppable miracle. Now, Pilate's suspicious statement, make it as sure as you can, there in verse 65. And here we have the command of man against the eternal purpose of God, to raise up his son from the dead. Now, Pilate may have had some authority in the Roman Empire, especially in that area over Judea, but he had no authority in the kingdom of God. And so this command of his had many limitations. And as I say, it was a weak command from a weak man. You remember how earlier he had tried to wash his hands from being the one who would make the final decision on this. And then they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate was a weak man. And here he is saying, make the tomb as sure as you can. Now, it was unstoppable, despite that they sealed the tomb. If you look at verse 66, after Pilate gave the command, go make it as sure as you can, it says there, so they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Now, how did they seal it? Some might suggest by wax, so that at least if it's tampered with, they would know. Others say some kind of clay that would do the same thing. Just some means by which they would know if the stone had ever been moved. It was also unstoppable despite the Roman guard. Pilate said to them, ye have a watch. Now that watch was, the Greek term is custodia, to take custom, to hold fast. And there were a guard of Roman soldiers who were assigned to this task of watching, guarding the tomb. And of course, they were elite. They were professionals. They knew what they were doing. And they had enough men to take a shift. And while others would sleep, the others would be awake. And so they would ensure that nobody tampered with that tomb. And yet, we know what happened. It was unstoppable in spite of the early morning earthquake. You'll notice in verse 2, chapter 28, verse 2, behold, there was a great earthquake. And by the way, the word there is seismos, from which we get the whole English word of seismology, the managing or the measuring of earthquakes. And so this was a great earthquake. It was a mega earthquake. And while men watched and guarded, that earthquake did its work. Here is something of the supernatural meeting the natural. It rumbled and shook, and these men were really incapable of stopping the power of God at that event. was also unstoppable because of the angel that attended. You see also there in verse 2, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. And the way it's written there, you would see that it's the angel that caused the earthquake. That descent of this mighty visitor from heaven, when he descended down upon that rock, there was a rumbling and a trembling of the earth at his descent. Now that angel did not release the Lord from the tomb. He only announced that his body was gone. If you look at verse 6 of chapter 28, he said, "He's not here. He is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay." And so the angel did not invite the woman to come and see Jesus in the tomb, but they came to say, "Look, the tomb is empty. He's gone. See the place where the Lord lay." Now, this is the miracle of the resurrection. It's the grand, wonderful story, the announcement of that day that the Lord is risen. And of course, who can stop a miracle? For it defies all laws of physics. It defies all laws of nature. God intervenes. The Lord is risen. And the resurrection of Christ from the dead is a foundational miracle and doctrine of our gospel. And that's why we have good news. That's why we can tell the world that Jesus is for real. He is not phony. He is not a weakling. He is not defeated. And even though he suffered and died on that cross and laid down his life upon that tree, a seeming victim, in seeming weakness, in seeming defeat, yet this resurrection morning makes the announcement that he could not be conquered by death. He could not be limited by mortality. He rose victorious over the grave on that day. And of course, we invite you to look at the facts. How are you going to answer them? And everybody had to look at the facts. Pilate was later to look at the facts. These Roman soldiers were to rehearse the facts. The Jews were to deal with the facts. And when the news came to the women and to the disciples, they had to look at the facts. Really? How can that be? And the fact stared them in the face. Who can deny it? And who can defy it? And here we are today, and we're still faced with this fact. You can't deny the fact, the reality, that Jesus, the Son of God, rose from the dead. And so it is an unstoppable miracle. And because the miracle could not be stopped, we have today an unstoppable message. Because contrary to all desire, the news got out. It was broadcast. And you'll see that it was the angel's message. And the very words were given to the woman. Let's go down to chapter 28, verse 7. And you will hear how the angel said unto them, verse 6, "He's not here, for he's risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples." He is risen. That's the angel's message. And these women were to go and tell, and unabashedly tell, "He is risen." And these women became the first messengers, the first missionaries, if you will, to spread this good news that the Savior who died on the cross is now alive, and he lives to bring life to all who will put their trust in him. And it became their bounden duty. They were commanded, go and tell. And this message was unstoppable because it came from the angel, it went with the woman, and it was taken to the disciples. You'll notice also that was an urgent message. They were told to go quickly. There was no time to waste. Now, why such urgency? Now, I know that we talk about, you know, the nations of the world need to hear the gospel. There's people dying and perishing around the world that need a Savior and need to know how Christ can save them. There is always an urgency to the gospel. But what was the immediate urgency on that morning that these women were told to go quickly? Don't waste a minute. Get going and tell those disciples. Why was this message so urgent? Because they had 24 hours. When Jesus predicted, prophesied, and taught his disciples along the way that on the third day he would rise again, then it must happen on the third day, not the fourth. And you know what unbelieving men are like. If he had risen on the fourth, or if the evidence had only come forth on the fourth day, they would say, oh, there it is. He didn't fulfill his promise. He didn't really fulfill what he predicted. And so these women were to get the message out immediately. And they were to go find those disciples. Go quickly. And in Luke 24:34, it says, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And so they went. And they got those disciples. And they told the news. Now on down to verse 9. You'll see that it was a verified message. It says, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all heal. So it was no longer secondhand news. And we're all a little bit doubtful about secondhand news. You know, when you tell a story or you give an account, well, I didn't actually see it myself, but, you know, that person down the street told me and sounded really convincing. And here I am telling you, but it's not my story. It's his story that I'm telling you. Well, once the Lord himself appeared in person and presented his body, alive. Wow. That verified the message immediately. Now you'll notice what they did when they came. They came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Here is now evidence of a bodily resurrection. It wasn't a spirit they saw. It wasn't some mystical, weird operation. It was the body of the Lord Jesus. He rose out of that tomb bodily. And that same body in its new state was now touchable. And the moment that they laid hold upon his feet, that was the final verification. That was the evidence that cast them to the ground to worship and to surrender to the reality of the Lord Jesus. And of course, that was the thing that later convinced Thomas. Thomas the doubter. Thomas, who was the last disciple to accept the message. And he said, unless I see him myself, and unless I put my hands into his side and into his nail prints in his hands, I will not believe. And when the Lord appeared a week later, he said to Thomas with the other disciples, Thomas, behold my hands, handle me and see. And that became the verifiable, the final evidence, flesh and blood. And Thomas was no longer a doubter. Now, it was also the Romans' message. If you go on down to verse 11, you'll notice, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. Now, I'm sure these men were kind of embarrassed. They were the elite shock troops of the Roman Empire. They were commissioned by Pilate to make the tomb as sure as they could, and they were to guard it night and day. But they had to return into the city with the news, he's gone. He's gone. The tomb's empty. And I'm not sure how they told that story. We don't get all the details here. And all we know in verse 12, when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. And so between them, they tried a cover-up job. The Roman soldiers admitted their failure. And the Jew says, well, don't dare tell that story. Hey, we'll pay you to say that the disciples came and stole them away. And so in all of that, it became the angel's message. It became the women's message. It became the Roman soldiers' message. And it also became the Jews' message. Because they didn't contest what the Roman soldiers said. They didn't say, now, come on, you're fooling us. And if I know Jews, they don't part with cash easily. They're not going to hand over fistfuls of money to pay off some stupid notion. These Jews were convinced, hey, we can't allow that to get out. And they were willing to pay off these Roman guards who were willing to risk their own lives and tell the truth that they had failed. They had failed to guard the tomb. The Lord was gone. And you'll notice down in verse 15, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. And so those religious leaders who handed over the money, that story got told. And among the Jews, it became the popular report. And it became their message, which really attested to the fact that Jesus did rise, that his body was gone from the tomb, and he had not been stolen by these radical Christian disciples. And so all of it now becomes a verified story. Then it was a commanded message. I'm going to go down to verse 16, moving down the chapter here. When these 11 disciples were in Galilee, and they were in a mountain where Jesus had appointed to meet with them, and in verse 17 it says, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Now you might say, well, that puts a huge question mark on the whole issue. If these men doubted, still doubted, what kind of evidence did they have? What was wrong with the facts that was before them that they were still doubting? But let me flip the coin. These were not yes men. These were not men who were looking for a story and took anything that they could get a hold of. These were men that had to be convinced. They were slow to be convinced. And they understood what they were asked to believe. This was miraculous. This was supernatural. This is not an easy story to tell. And so some doubted. But the very fact that they doubted, it tells you that they were men that when they were convinced, and each one of them was convinced, that they became advocates without a question, without a doubt. And we know from history that India was the place where Thomas missioned. If you go to the south of India today, there are many Thomasite Christians. Now, they have been disaffected by all kinds of things, persecution by the Roman Catholic Church. They have been affected by monasticism and various other practices that we would say is not pure Christianity, but they still call themselves Thomasite Christians. And that testifies to the fact that Thomas was their founder. Thomas was the missionary that went to India and took the gospel at great cost, great sacrifice, even of his own life. And he was willing to serve, sacrifice, and even die for the truth of the risen, living Lord Jesus. And this becomes the message that is unstoppable. And around the world, from that little place in Jerusalem, at that grave that they discovered the tomb was empty, the message has become unstoppable. There's not a nation in the world today that has not heard that Jesus is risen. Now, I know there are some tribes and peoples that have not really been assimilated with the modern world, and it's questionable if they know the whole account. But nations have heard the news, and it is unstoppable. And you cannot stop your ears to this fact. Jesus is risen. And you are dying. You are in need of a Savior to give you victory over the grave. And the message is that Jesus defeated the grave, and he promises life, eternal life, to all who will put their trust in him. That brings us to the unstoppable meaning. The good news of full salvation to sinners is unstoppable. You see, if Christ did not rise from the dead, then all the suffering of the Lord on the cross would be meaningless. All his agony upon that tree when he suffered, bled, and died would have accomplished nothing without his resurrection. But now that the tomb is empty, the story of the cross, the doctrine of atonement, that Jesus' blood was shed to cover over our sins, purchasing the church in redemption, all of that is intact and unquestionable because Jesus is risen from the dead. And it means that his promise to raise up believers is unstoppable. You, as a Christian, will rise again from the dead. And even you were to bury me 6 feet under in pure concrete and rebar, on the resurrection day when the trumpet sounds, this body of mine is going to rise. There's going to be a resurrection. Jesus said it, that because I live, ye shall live also. And this is the great message. This is the meaning. There's a resurrection day. There's a day when bodies will be raised up out of the grave. We will meet the Lord in the air. This is good news to a dying world. Now, if the resurrection of the Lord Jesus could not be stopped, it couldn't be stopped by the Roman powers, couldn't be stopped by men, couldn't be stopped by rock, couldn't be stopped by the stone. Our resurrection also is unstoppable. I want you to get that. I want you to enjoy that today. There are many who fear death. There are many who wonder what will happen to me after this world when I face the grave. Well, there's going to be a resurrection. And he will raise us up. It has another meaning as well, and that is that if Christ is alive, as he said, he would live. And if all his prophecies and predictions that he would rise on the third day and ascend to his Father, then also his prediction that he's coming again is unstoppable. You see, many people want to keep him in the tomb because they don't want to face the reality that he is coming again. And if the resurrection is undeniable, then the return of Christ to this world in grace to his people, in judgment to the wicked, that is unstoppable. And the trumpet's going to sound, and Christ will come, and the wicked will be destroyed with this world, when the Christian, the believer, will be raised up to eternal life. And that's a part of our hope. The hope doesn't stop at the empty tomb. The hope doesn't stop with Jesus' own resurrection. It involves our being raised from the dead and brought into the presence of God. And of course, it was this message that changed cowardly men into bold, courageous apostles. It transformed them. Cowards became heralds. And that's what put life and power into their souls to preach this gospel. And when you have been changed and transformed by the living Lord Jesus in your heart, you will tell the story too. You'll not be ashamed of that story. Jesus lives in us. You ask me, how do I know he lives? He lives within my heart. When you are born again, when you are born of the Spirit, when you come as a sinner to Jesus and ask him to save your soul, and he enters in, then he changes you, and he gives you eternal life. In Revelation 1:18, it says this, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. That's our Lord Jesus. He is alive. And he also said outside the grave of Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live and shall never die. Believest thou this? The Lord ended that with the question, believest thou this? Now this is the call to believe, to put your faith in the risen Lord Jesus. And we're not asking you to put your trust in academics, theory, but solid historic facts and the risen living Lord Jesus. You see, Christianity is a relationship. It is a person. It is a friend, the friend of sinners. It is to personally know the Lord Jesus as your own Savior. I could never preach that if the tomb was not empty. But now that he is living, I can give you this good gospel message that Jesus wants to live in your heart. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open unto me, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Will you open your heart to the Lord Jesus? Will you invite him to be your Savior, your friend, your Lord? That's the claim of the empty tomb. It's a challenge, but it's a glorious hope. And it's the message that the world needs. That's why we want to be a missionary church, to tell the world Jesus lives to save. I pray today that you will call on him and put your trust in the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. Why not? Do you really love this world so much? Do you really cling to sin so tightly? Do you really think that you can do it without the Savior? No, you need him. And he came all the way to heaven because you need him. And he went all the way to the cross because you need your sins washed away. And he rose out of that tomb to be your Savior. Will you trust him and call on Him. Let's close in prayer today, and we'll ask the Lord to minister on through His Word. Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful story, these facts of the resurrection. We thank Thee for how it changed the world and the men and women who went out to turn the world upside down because they preached the resurrection. O God, I pray that Thou wilt work Thy will in our hearts today, that we might be good missionaries of the cross and of the risen Savior. And we pray for the lost today, those who stumble through life without hope, without a Savior, without their sins forgiven, without any light for the darkness of death. O Lord, we pray today that You will shine Thy light into each heart and draw each one to the Savior. We pray for the Holy Spirit to minister on when the voice of man is silent. Bless every head bowed, every heart before Thee, and grant that on that day when the roll is called up yonder, that each one will be there. We pray for Your blessing in the name of our Lord Jesus. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with your redeemed people now and evermore. Amen. Amen.